Hello, and welcome back to 1,000 Miles Podcast. I am Stephanie.
And I am Takara. And we welcome to all of our viewers who are still hanging in there with us. Don't worry, guys. We are getting the hang of this. This is our podcast where we're two best friends who literally live 1,000 miles apart. We've been friends for 24 years. We have some awesome conversations, and we just want to welcome you into that. Become engaged, enraged. You'll probably laugh a little bit. So let's get started.
All right. So first up, wanted to talk about a really sad story that many of us have seen online over the past week. So a young gentleman by the name of Ahmaud Arbery was shot and killed in Georgia back in February, and a video has surfaced showing his murder. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Takara, and let you give your thoughts, and then I'll chime in.
Okay. So I think at this point, most people have probably heard a little something about this story if they're not following it very closely. It's yet another case of an unarmed Black man. Yes, I am going to make it about race because that seems to be a huge factor in this case. Another case of an unarmed Black man gunned down who's minding his own business. The difference here is that he wasn't gunned down by police. He was gunned down by citizens, one who happened to have a career as, what was he, an officer, detective? I don't even know.
Yeah, he was an ex-cop.
But he worked for... He was an ex-cop, okay? And another one who works for the DA's office, is that right? Forgive me for not knowing about the murderers' lives as much as I should. But let's just say that they have connections to law enforcement, to court systems, and all that kind of stuff. He was out for a jog. Mm-hmm. He was minding his business. He wasn't committing any crimes, and these two men took it upon themselves to hunt him down like a rabid animal, box him in, and then kill him. Some people will say that, you know, it was a justified shooting. These average citizens who claimed they were conducting a citizen's arrest for this young man being an alleged burglary suspect. That's the story that they gave, is that there was some kind of burglary in their neighborhood, or there have been a string of burglaries in recent dates, mm-hmm. which we find out months later is not true. But anyway, they claim that there have been burglaries. The father, or the older murderer, claimed that he had a rifle stolen out of his unlocked truck, and that Mr. Arbery fit the description, or they thought he was the suspect, the person who had done it. It's all a crock of shit to me. I'm not going to pretend to be unbiased at all. I'm not playing devil's advocate with this story because I do not see where they're right at all. I cannot put myself in their shoes and say that, oh, well, if we look at it from this perspective, absolutely not. No, this is really almost a clear case of right and wrong. You cannot claim self-defense. This is the most ridiculous thing ever. Mm-hmm. They claim self-defense. How is it that a murderer can claim self-defense? Can Jason, sorry, I know he's a fictional horror character. Can Jason claim self-defense if he's killed while trying to kill? Sorry, I'm not making light of it, but I'm just saying, let's put this in real perspective. There are people who are trying to frame this as Mr. Arbery started the confrontation. No, let's be real. These men zoomed one truck. There were two trucks, two pickups, I believe. One, they saw him. They got their hunting posse together, which included the father, son, and a friend who's a neighbor, I suppose. The first part of the hunting posse was the father and son who zoomed ahead to block the street. They saw Mr. Arbery running. They saw him jogging, again, minding his own business. And then the other hunting party member, the third friend, recorded as he zoomed behind Mr. Arbery running, blocking him in from the back. Okay, this man had nowhere to go unless he wanted to run into the woods and die in the woods. Instead, he died in the middle of a, I don't know if this is suburban, rural, he died in the middle of a street. Just reckless, completely reckless and senseless killing.
Yeah.
Defending his life. And there are people who are trying to make excuses for that. Tell me how that's not premeditated. You see somebody, you say, we're going to get him. You stalk him. You illegally detain him. The citizen's arrest thing is bullcrap. You block him in, which I'm pretty sure is kidnapping. And then you're standing there menacing with a gun. Unfortunately, there's a tiny second that the cameraman gets a little shaky, mm-hmm. and you can't see exactly what happens because the father, the older McMichael holding the rifle, is tussling at some point with Mr. Arbery. Excuse me, but if you're standing there with a rifle and I see you standing there menacing and I'm trying to get around you and you're following me and you're yelling, supposedly yelling commands at me to stop, and I don't know you, you don't have a badge on, you don't have a uniform on, you just look like some Okie from Finoki. Yeah, I'm going to do everything I can to save my own life too, because this looks like some Deliverance shit right here.
I totally agree. I totally agree.
That's my rage out.
Yeah. Like when I saw the video, I felt like it was a scene out of like Rosewood or something. You know what I mean? Like some kind of movie about slavery and Black oppression and, you know, when we were not considered to be a whole person, right? Like it was just very, very scary to know that. One, not only did this happen in 2020, this happened in February 23rd, and the video's just now surfacing in May. Like, everyone involved deserves some kind of time, because one, how does the DA say, oh, don't arrest them, I know them, they've done work for me. So what? Like, if you are a criminal, your relationship to the people who are responsible for enacting justice does not matter. You should be prosecuted. And if it's a citizen's arrest, I have never seen anyone bring a gun, a rifle, to a citizen's arrest. I even saw something where the lawyer who released the video, I read yesterday, where he was saying the video, he released the video to show that if Mr. Arbery had just froze when he was told to freeze, that he would have never been shot. How do you blame a murder victim for their own murder?
I mean, it seems to only happen to Black people.
Absolutely.
It really seems to only happen to Black people. And it really makes me so mad. And as you already know, I can go on and on about these type of things because it makes me so angry. But it's like, in 2020, regardless of whatever advances people want to claim, because as soon as you say Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. all lives matter. As soon as you want to say something like Black people are disproportionately jailed or Black people are given more time for the same crimes as their white counterpart,
mm-hmm.
You always get that group pushback of, well, if they weren't doing the crime, maybe they shouldn't do crime, blah, blah, blah. Let's just stop it. Just stop it. Because we know that systemic racism is still prevalent in this country. If there was not systemic racism, we would not see how this chain of events happened, where these two men were allowed to murder that young man who had done nothing wrong. They were allowed to murder him in broad daylight, had it on video. They recorded it. And apparently I read that they submitted that video evidence to police, and police sat on it. They sat on it. Okay, so I don't want to completely blame police for not investigating. Apparently they have to do, or they're, you know, they're given their directives from the DA or prosecutors, whatever. But you know, everybody's trying to cover their ass now. Oh, we wanted to press charges and we were told not to press charges. I mean, you've had how many DAs now have recused themselves from the case, or had recused themselves because they had personal relationships with the older murderer, McMichael?
I know at least two people have recused themselves from the case because of their relationship with him.
Is there even a chance of getting a fair trial at this point? I just don't see it. I mean, you just pulled a grand jury just last week. Who hasn't been tainted at this point by this trial? And this is apparently a good old boys town. What is it? Brunswick, Georgia?
Yeah.
I know nothing about Brunswick, Georgia.
Neither do I.
Only know places in Georgia in relation to ATL, as most people probably do. But it looked like a nice neighborhood. Yeah. And these people insulated in their hatred. And it's disgusting.
Honestly, Takara, if the video never surfaced, the McMichaels would be sitting home having Sunday dinner this weekend. Like, let's be honest. There's only action being taken now because that video came out and there's public outrage. It has nothing to do with their crime that they're in jail right now.
You're 100% right. If that video didn't surface, we would still be asking or demanding justice, and they would still be telling their lie about what happened, and we would have nothing else to go off of, and that would be it. It would get buried, like a lot of these type of stories get buried. It would get buried, and we'd never hear about it again. Yeah. And maybe in 3 years, his mother might get some kind of $1 million payout, as if her son's life had a freaking $1 million price tag on it.
Right. And it's just sad to me because, especially being a mother of three sons, three boys that will one day be three Black men, it's scary to me to know that the conversations that my grandparents have had to have with my parents have had with me, I now have to have with my sons on a consistent basis, that our Black skin, our brown skin is looked at as a weapon against certain people in this world. Like, how can you not innocently drive through your own neighborhood? It's not like they're seeing a stranger. He lives there and has lived there probably for his entire life. So,
I mean, I don't care if he went down. I honestly wouldn't care if he was an out-of-town visitor. Unless your street is marked as private, I have a right. I have a right to run down a public road. Right. You know, he has a right to run down a public road without being harassed, without being accosted, without being murdered, which is what happened here. This really smacks of George Zimmerman vibes, which really, really divided the country in a way and really show people's true colors. Honestly, if you're still divided on how you should feel about the George Zimmerman case, or I should call it the Trayvon Martin murder, then you probably won't like what we have to say right now. Because I believe George Zimmerman should be in jail for murder, because he is another one that went on a hunting party and then killed he bit off more than he could chew, chasing after a young man who was minding his business. And he was the aggressor, and Trayvon Martin ended up dead because of somebody else's ignorance. Right. I believe it was murder. Obviously, the courts say different. I don't agree with it. You know, I think a scumbag is out right now, just like the McMichaels are scumbags that are out. Well, they're not out right now, but they sure were living lovely for a couple of months, right?
Right. It's ridiculous.
Ooh, that got me mad. I mean, just to kind of, I guess, wrap it up, because we really can't talk about this one all day.
Yeah.
It's so fresh, and it just makes us so mad. But what would you like to see in terms of justice for this case?
I do think it needs to be trialed as a premeditated murder. The moment you put it in your mind that I'm going to round up the posse and go chase this person down, as a ex-cop, you have the training. You know what to expect from your former cop peers. If you call the cops and you get a description of this person to give to them, let them do their job, as opposed to putting yourself out there to try to enact some kind of justice that went totally wrong, and which you probably weren't a good cop, let's be real. But I would like to see them tried for murder, not this citizen's arrest gone wrong.
As would I. It looks like the prosecutor is already trying to tank the case. I don't want to get into it too much right now, because it's just, there was a press conference and he's shaking hands and patting backs like it's all just one big happy party. And like many times in this country when things like this happen, usually the victim's family doesn't get justice for their loved one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't really have faith in our justice system when it comes to these type of things. And I especially don't have faith in our justice system in that area of the country, you know, where it is a system of good old boys and, you know, taking care of people even when they've done wrong. You're clearly in the wrong line of business if your line of business is about getting justice and you are a corrupt force in that. These people need to all be fired. Every single person that touched this case and didn't do anything to bring justice for a murder victim, they need to all be fired, if not have charges brought against them, so their asses are in jail next to the McMichaels that they love so much.
Amen.
So,
rest in all peace to Ahmaud Arbery. My condolences to his family.
Exactly. I hope they receive justice. That's it. We're going to end it there.
Yes, let's move along.
Okay. All right. What do we want to talk about next? I know there was something I wanted to talk about.
Speak on it.
All right. So I won't claim it's a lighter topic, but it's a switch up. This is about personal integrity in the workplace and blocking opportunities because of it. I'll just tell a quick story. Forgive me if I a little bit too much. I'm trying to change names and dates and places to protect people. But I'll just give a little hypothetical situation. So let's say hypothetically that I work in an office environment and I work pretty closely with people. I know what you're doing over there on your computer, and you know what I'm doing, and we know what each other is not doing in terms of work, okay? You know really what my skill set is, and I know what your skill set is. So let's say that we don't really get along that well, because I know that you are a slacker. Let's just say it. Let's just leave it like that. You're a slacker in your job. I often have to pick up a lot of your slack. I'm not going to go report you or anything to management. I don't feel like that's necessary. I'm just going to do what I can do to make sure that I'm doing my job and make sure I'm being productive. I'm not your boss, okay? It's not up to me to notice what you're doing, but I do notice it. And I do know what your capabilities are. And I do know that you kind of get by on being a little bit of a brown noser. And I know that the management team really almost appreciates that from you, because they don't get it from me. I don't believe in brown nosing. I'm a Black woman in America. My nose is brown enough, okay? My nose is brown enough. I don't believe I should have to kiss any ass in order to get ahead. And I, at my age, I do realize that that has probably blocked me from certain opportunities, because a lot of managers want their ass kissed.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And that's really unfortunate. I mean, if someone is giving you great work and you can speak to them in a professional way, because I do believe you should be able to talk to, communicate very well with the people that you work with. There shouldn't be tension with the people that you work with. And everybody has drama in the workplace. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying real tension that kind of affects you. You shouldn't be going home every day saying, oh, she did this and she did that, or he did this and he did that. That's stress you don't need in your job.
Yeah.
Okay. So I enjoy my job, and I try not to worry about what other people are doing or not doing. I am aware, but I'm not actively worrying about it. So because I know that the management team prefers to have someone who's kind of always engaging with them in terms of catering to their needs, but they're not exactly work needs, more like friendship level needs. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm making sense, where they're almost trying to be friends with the management, and that friendship is seen as more valuable in a certain way than my super productive ass over there working, you know? So that person is seen as a favorite. The slacker is seen as a favorite, and they kind of get to get away with a lot that they shouldn't be getting away with, but still, I mind my business. So this is where the dilemma comes up. Let's say a promotion opportunity comes up where you'll be working within the management team, where you'll get more responsibilities, a title change, possibly a pay raise. It just comes with a bump. It's a definitely not a lateral move. It is definitely a upper movement, which is great. You know, I don't know a lot of people who are happy being stagnant in one position. But because I know myself, and I know that I'm not a brown noser, and I know how this management team gets down, and I know it might actually be detrimental to me to go for that promotion, because I can't, my own personal integrity will not allow me to be that way with them, be more friends with them than an employee. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that in order to have job security. You know, that's crazy to me. I just want to be seen as a great employee. I want to be seen as an asset to my company. And I think I am. And while I'm more than qualified for this promotion opportunity, I'm not going to go for it, because I just don't want those type of problems, right? So let's say the slacker goes for it. And let's say the slacker gets it. How would you feel? I mean, I'm not allowed to be mad about that, right? Because there are some people that would gladly kiss ass in order to get ahead in life. I'm not one of them, but am I allowed to be mad at that person for doing what I won't do?
Ooh, that's a lot. Honestly,
I know it's a lot.
Because, you know, I have put myself on pause at times, in the workplace because I know who I would have to work for if I went for certain things. And I knew that in the past that my personality wasn't going to vibe with the person I would have to report to. I like just like when so what's the phrase when someone shows you who they are, believe it. Like there's been people I've avoided in my career because I didn't like the fact that they recruited office snitches. I didn't like the fact that they showed a lot of favoritism or that they just didn't know how to relate to someone on a human level. And I couldn't work under them because I didn't want to be perceived the way they were. You know what I mean? So it's like, protecting my own reputation. So no, I don't think it's a bad thing for you not to go for an opportunity when you know that you're going to end up in this, right under someone who lacks integrity themselves. You know what I mean? Like, you can be friendly with your direct reports without leaving that perception of favoritism if you're doing the right thing for everyone, if you're treating everyone fairly. But when you have a clear favorite, it leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth. And then when you're directly associated with that person, it can ruin your reputation too. So I don't think it's a bad thing to, put it on pause and just, give it some time until another opportunity comes about so that you don't end up knowing you, Takara, for 24 years. I don't want you to lose your job. And you have to
I have
set up a
walked
situation.
out. I have walked out of jobs because of the integrity issue. And for a long time, I thought it was because I had an issue with authority. I really thought that was me. And it's not that I have an issue with authority. I have an issue with somebody who I have to answer to not having integrity. And it's not even my personal brand of integrity. It's just like basic management 101 level integrity. You know, it if I can't respect you, I don't want to work for you. Period. And I have left jobs because of that. You are right. Thanks for calling me out.
But
Yeah, you are right.
I don't think it should bother you either about this person who has now gotten this opportunity due to their brown nosing because their lack of skill will eventually come out. And I always tell people at work, there's only one name on your paycheck stub, your own. So just worry about you. Do what you have to do and keep rising to the top through your own merits and let that person fail. Because if they're going to need you before you need them, clearly, if
It's
you're the
true.
more skilled person. So I wouldn't even be mad. Like it's not always that divine intervention that, everyone feels, oh, what God has for me is for me, blah, blah, blah. Because that's not the case here, where you feel like you've blocked your own blessings or you've missed out on the opportunity or shot yourself in the foot or anything like that. If you didn't hit the apply button, that's not a sign that you've missed out on something. That's you using your intuition and respecting your own integrity to say, you know what? This person, this manager is not someone that I want to be any closer to than I am now. The person who is brown nosed to get themselves to to where they are, let them go ahead and trip up over their own feet because they don't know what the hell they're doing. Because you at some point you're gonna have to prove that you have the skills, right? Like you can't just completely rely on everyone else, and that person is gonna fuck themselves over.
I mean, you're right. When you put it into perspective like that, you are right. They're gonna need me before I need them. And I should just let the chips fall where they may. I get just the same way I get mad at injustice in law enforcement, justice system, whatever. I get mad at, my perceived injustice in a workplace too. I'm not a black and white person in terms of right is right and wrong is wrong. I always believe there's some some wiggle room for gray. Is not everything is not always clear cut, but in a lot of cases like this, it's very clear cut, and I just get really annoyed by it because I'm like, this is wrong. This is wrong. This person is being rewarded for being a kiss ass with no skill set. I don't get it. And it's not like it's the first time it's ever happened in any workplace. It happens all the time.
Absolutely.
People who don't deserve promotions are promoted because the management team likes them. That's it. It's like, oh, well, you know, you should apply for that job. You'll get it. That's BS, but I'm going to try to put it out of my mind and just do what I need to do. And like you said, wait for the next opportunity to come up. That's right for me. Because that one was not right for me.
Yeah, don't let anyone tarnish your brand. You know what I mean? Like, even if it is your manager, if you're working that closely with them where, you know, you're getting a promotion and you're moving up closer to where they're ranked in a company, and you know they're full of shit, they're just going to bring you down. Like, every company I've worked at where there's been, like, this buddy-buddy system, as soon as the person who brought every one of their buddies up fell, their buddies fell with them.
Wow. Okay. That's actually reassuring. I know that makes me seem like a little bit of an asshole, but I don't care. Because you deserve it. You deserve to fail if you didn't get where you are on any kind of merits of your own. Like, you deserve to fail. I don't care. I'm not sorry for you. Ooh, that's my petty coming out. Petty
your
spaghetti.
Petty card showing. Get you one more and call yourself petty, petty, petty.
Okay. I know you got one and a half more topics we wanted to talk about today. So thank you. I do appreciate that advice. You're always like the best sounding board, man.
It's because I'm a Virgo.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
So, switching gears yet again, kind of in the same vein, but work relationships. So, as an adult, especially with me moving to a whole nother state, all of my friends that I've made during my move, I have worked with at some point. Like, I don't really communicate with my neighbors that much. Like, I've been invited to a birthday party for my neighbor's daughter, or I've invited the same neighbor over to my house for a cookout. So we've had like, what, two interactions since being neighbors, but everyone else that I'm cool with are work friends. And sometimes, a lot of times, I find myself being kind of guarded to some degree, because really with you being my best friend, right? I can't say that enough. You have been like my mainstay, right, in life, where you're always my one friend. If I'm gonna pick up my phone, like I said last time, and whenever I call someone, it's either you, my mom, or my husband. I don't call a lot of people, right? And I find it hard sometimes to, I guess, build a more genuine connection with people sometimes, where it's, you know, not just a surface relationship, because I've been burned. I've gotten close to people from work, and, you know, you find your little work buddy, your work bestie, your work husband, your work wife, whatever, like your little soulmate at work, and you kind of blow off steam sometimes, and I'll just have that one person, and I'm like, okay, if I only tell this one person, it won't get out. I can just confide in this one person, and then you kind of make a connection because they have similar experiences too, right? Because that's how you build friendships and relationships. You find people with commonalities. So in the past, that has burned me. I find that a lot of times when I make friendships or connections with people really, really fast, those shit seemed like so much fun. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I hate this bitch. Oh, I wish I never talked to you. Like, I wish I never gave you any piece of me. I let you into my life. I let you into my home. I fed you. And now I don't like you. And I don't throw back in their face what I've done for them. I just stop talking to them because it's, I'm one of my friends says this all the time. Don't let people rent space in your head or live in your head for free or something like that. Whatever. I'm not giving you that much energy. I'm done. We've cut ties. I've moved on. So in recent years, I have actually built like a little circle of friends where we're cool. You know what I mean? Everyone gets together. Now we can't because of the quarantine, but we would make it a point to say, hey, miss you guys, let's get together. And we would have like our girl nights. I've been to their homes, they've been to mine, and we make an effort, but sometimes I do feel like I'm still guarded. Like there, you know everything about me, but you've also known me for two-thirds of my life, where they've only known me for like a handful of years. So I wonder sometimes, like, are there, I don't know, is it really like, is it really real friendships? If I don't work with them anymore, will it fizzle? Will it die? You know, or even like your work husband or work homeboy, like, are those relationships real, genuine? Are they really just waiting for you to, in one of your confiding moments, to say, oh, I broke up with my man so they could fuck you? Like, how do you feel? I know I said a lot, but how do you feel about the work relationships?
When it comes to, I would say specifically like work husbands, work wife, work sister, work all those kind of relationships, I have seen so many of them fizzle, just like you said. I mean, you cannot tell these people anything. That is their brother from another mother. You can't tell them anything. Because it's almost like this instant attraction where you're like, oh my God, this person, they understand me on every single level. And then because it's this instant attraction, bromance, or what do they call it when two females connect like that? This friendship,
Friends.
friend.
Guys are the only ones that need a stupid name for their friendship.
Okay, so when you connect with people like that, it almost gives you like a high where you're like, yes, I want to play
Yeah.
game. I want to play video games with this person. Let's go out for drinks. Let's hang out all the time. And then, however long it takes for you to see true colors, those true colors are going to come out eventually, trust me. That's when things start to fall apart because something you confided in them maybe gets out, and you're like, well, I only told you. How does how, what is Larry, Moe, and Curly? How do they know? How do those stooges over there know?
Right.
Or you have some kind of argument where you should be able to talk it out because that's what friends do. You should be able to talk it out, and it blows up in your face, and you just never saw this side of a person, probably because you haven't known them long enough. I have seen so many of those things happen that I am almost anti not work friendships, but I do believe when you start labeling people, this is my work husband, this is my work wife, like, shut up, stop it, stop it. Maybe I have friends. I have a lot of friends. And like you do, whenever I have something that I want to share or get off my chest or vent, you're always like the first person that I call to do that with. I can't really say that about a lot of work friends. I gained probably one really, well, that's a lie, two really good friends from work that I know I could probably call and they can give me advice or something like that. Nothing is quite like getting the advice from your best friend of 24 years, but I'm talking about work people who you trust with what you're going to tell them. And you can't get that by just slapping that label of friend or work husband, work wife, work sister, whatever, onto people. And I think, I don't know why people don't learn from it. Because I have seen people, that's my sister, that's my brother, that's my cousin. You just claiming all these people. And stupid me, because I trust people way too openly, thinking you actually related to these folks. Oh no, those are just work family. Okay. And then you hear the break room gossip about how they're beefing. Okay.
Yeah, you know, my mom used to always tell me when I was little, everyone's not your friend, right? And I never got that until I became a mother and found myself saying that to my kids, right? So, but it's so true. And she never gave any real context behind it. She just used to say, you know, everybody's not your friend, Stephanie. Okay. And like, give me more. Right. I need something else to go on, because all it did is just make me kind of suspicious. Of people, like, what do you mean everybody's not my friend? Like, let me look. But it wasn't like, it was like, you know, it didn't stop me from trusting people. And, you know, I trusted people until I got burned. And I think those experiences made her statement make a lot more sense. And that's why I've kind of chosen at this point to kind of keep things a little bit more surface. And I've never been one to tell everyone my business, because I don't need the opinions of everyone, and I don't need to broadcast my business. I don't have a reality show. I'm not getting paid for this shit. So I'm not going to tell everybody my business. And you know what I mean? Especially like if I have relationship issues and then I still end up with the same dude. Everyone doesn't know that, you know, I've learned how to work it out, or have the opinion that I'm stupid for being there. Well, however it goes. So, but it's still, it's a weird, not even a fine line, it's just a weird dynamic, like just trying to maintain friendships as an adult, because especially with me being in a different state, I had no choice but to make new friends, because I didn't know anyone here. You know what I mean? Like, who am I supposed to hang out with? I can't just be friends with my kids. Like, I need adult interaction. So, you know, but even a lot of times I found that I pegged people wrong. The people who I had those fast, fun relationships with, you know, that adrenaline high type, filled type of relationship, those relationships fizzled quickly. But the people who I pegged wrong and thought like, oh, I can't stand you, we're enemies in my head, even though you don't know I don't like you. Once I gave them a chance, I was like, oh, you're actually a cool person. You're sweet. And those relationships have lasted. I think my current group of friends that I have here is like my longest running group of friends. And outside of that, you know, I have a couple of people that I still talk to from when I first moved. You know what I mean? So it's not all bad, but it's just, it's weird. Like, I don't want to be your work wife, because I don't know what that entails. You know what I mean? I don't get a ring for that. I don't get a badge. I don't get a cookie. You know what I mean? Like, I'm probably your work confidant. You probably tell me a lot of stuff, and we bounce around ideas. Maybe you need a female perspective on things, and I tell you how I would have handled the situation. But we didn't walk down any aisles. You know what I mean? Right. Outside of maybe walking to lunch together. I'm not your work wife. I don't want to be your work boo. None of that stuff. Like, we're not hand in hand. None of that shit. Because I really don't want you going back to the personal integrity. I don't want to mess up my professional integrity, where now there's rumors that, oh, so-and-so is walking around with Stephanie. That's his work wife. I wonder what else they do.
Oh,
so it's like, that's like a scary line to cross.
Yeah.
Girl, you already know. The audience doesn't know, but you already know. My name has come up in some crazy shit, because I've been friends with people and people perceive it to be more than it is. So that's another piece where it's like, I'm already scared to be friends with people. And plus, I grew up as an only child. I'm my own best friend first, right?
Like, right.
I, whatever. So I'm okay with being by myself is the whole point. But for me to let someone else in and then other people insert their opinions into it scares the shit out of me. Or even with girls, I get the mean girl thing all the time that comes back to me where, oh, Stephanie and her friends are very cliquish and they don't let people in and blah, blah, blah. Nah, we're just cool. We smoke cigarettes together and we kick it. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. Let us be. Like, ugh.
Like that, and that's pretty much on track with how I feel about it. And just to, I'll wrap it up by saying quickly my personal experience with it. Besides seeing it from the outside looking in, I have been not a victim of it, but I've been in those type of, I've never let anybody put any kind of label on me. Like, that's my work. Whatever. No, we can be friends. Let's be friends. But I'm very cautious about even saying that now with, like your mama said, everybody's not your friend. Everybody cannot have the friend label. I wish we could go back to calling people associates without people getting offended by it. I've tried to call people associates a couple times, and because I'm very friendly and I like to think I'm funny and my sense of humor attracts a lot of different people. And people are quicker to call me a friend than I am to call them a friend. So when I say, oh, this is my associate so-and-so, they get offended by it. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you legit don't even know how old I am. Like, a friend would know that.
What's my last name?
What is my last name? How many R's are in my first name? Okay. You know, let's be real about it. So that's just my experience with it. I just don't want those labels put on me. You do what you want to do. You're an adult. Who cares at the end of the day? A lot of people are just having fun with it, and it's not deeper than just the surface thing. They're just having fun with it. But I think it's silly just overall. And I think a lot, if not the majority of those relationships don't end well. You know?
Yeah.
They don't end well. All right. Well, that was good. I think we had one little fun question that we wanted to end it on, just so that, you know, you guys can leave with a little humor in your hearts.
A little humor. And even though we don't seem to be open to having new friends for real, maybe these little questions at the end will help you feel like you have joined our friendship. You're our new best friends, or best associates. Bam. All right. So anyway, so one of my aunties posted a meme that I found to be hilarious. We're going to have to talk about the old people getting on Facebook one day. But anywho, so her meme was,
we are about to be the old people on Facebook. You know that, right?
Bitch.
Okay. Oh! Didn't I ask you what yeet meant? Didn't I think yeet was bad? I was like, your son is saying yeet. Isn't that something bad? And you had to let me know, okay? We are the old people on Facebook now. But continue.
Shout out to Urban Dictionary to help me keep up with this new generation, these newfangled people. So my aunt posted this meme that I found to be kind of funny. So anywho, if 2020 was a liquor, what would it be? I'll let you go first.
When I turned 21 in college, we had a liquor store right down the hill, and on my birthday I went down the hill and I got a little bottle of orange juice, and I got the cheapest and hugest bottle of vodka I could find. I'm pretty sure it was called something like Majorska or Majorski, something like that. That shit was disgusting. It was like paint thinner. I kept pouring this orange juice into this vodka. It was vodka. I kept pouring the orange juice into it, thinking it was going to help. It never helped. It was horrible. And because I don't believe in wasting liquor, I downed it. I could not tell you what happened to that bottle of vodka. I probably let somebody walk out of my dorm room with it. It was awful. So it started out awful and it ended awful. I didn't care at a certain point what happened to it. It was just all bad. There was nothing good about it at all. That's 2020 for me. 2020 is Majorska vodka.
Damn. All right. Well, I hope your vodka choices and year gets better. So for me, if 2020 were liquor, it would be Alizé.
What? So,
yes, I hate Alizé. Oh. So here's why. So I think I was like 21, 22. Probably still 21. We bought this bottle of Alizé. My husband and I, we were boyfriend and girlfriend at the time. And we just, you know, he's 3 years older than me. So he's been buying liquor for me for a while. Been drinking long before 21. Anywho. So I'm 21 now and I buy Alizé like, oh, this is going to be so good. I sold it to Parker's. If Nikki Parker liked it, it's probably good, right? Because Monique was lit back then. So we're drinking, having this fun night. And it tastes good at first. It really did. And then for the first time ever, like I got instantly sick in my sleep. Like, woke up like, I felt like the Alizé came back to punch me in the stomach, like run me my fair one type of fight. Right? And I popped up and all I could do was just lean over the side of the bed and throw my Alizé back up.
Ew.
Onto the carpet. And that's how 2020 has gone so far. It has started off with, you know, the quote unquote year of perfect vision. It was so great. It was so wonderful. And then eventually it came to punch me in the stomach. And it's really just coronavirus that makes me hate 2020. But it's not the year of perfect vision. It's just, it sucks. I don't like 2020 and I don't like Alizé. I'm taking 2020 off the calendar. Bam.
I mean, 2020, you suck right now. We're looking forward to some better things for the year. Let's just say that. I'm trying to upgrade from Majorski, whatever it's called, to, first of all, I don't even like vodka. I didn't know what I liked back then. I don't know what I'm upgrading to. Hell, I will upgrade to a Bud Light, okay? Let the rest of 2020 be a Bud Light. Mediocre. And cheap, and I don't have high expectations, but you know what? It's not gonna kill me, okay?
No hangover.
No hangover.
You'll piss it out before the end of the night.
All right, guys. Thanks for hanging in there with us. We appreciate all of our valued listeners. We hope that we gave you something to think about. We hope that we entertained you. And that's all for now. We hope to see you again in the next episode.
Yay. Thank you for hanging out with us. I'm Stephanie.
And I am Takara.
And tune back in next week for 1,000 Miles Apart.